Food is fuel for your body, your mind, and definitely your sport. But let's face it, nutrition is confusing, and the expectations on girls and women to be thin and have a six-pack are exhausting. If you've ever been frustrated with your body, confused about nutrition, obsessed with eating healthy, or guilty when you don't, underate, overate, or overtrained, and overwhelmed with all the pressure, then this podcast is for you. Nutrition can be easy. You can take control of it, but it might start with letting go of control by asking for help and making a change. I'm Lindsay Elizabeth Cortez, sports dietitian and owner of Rise Up Nutrition, where I empower female athletes to overcome nutrition concerns and perform at their highest level, to stop being confused by all the mixed or harmful messages, and finally have confidence in your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete.
Hello, everybody. My guest today is Elise Craney. She is a professional runner for Nike and the Bowerman Track Club and a 2021 Olympian. Elise is originally from Boulder, Colorado, and was introduced to the sport of running through her parents, who competed in many Ironman triathlons when she was growing up. She attended Stanford University, where she was a 12-time All-American, and she studied human biology. Elise loves all things nutrition, psychology, exercise physiology, and human development. So just another reason to have her as a guest on this podcast because we share interests. Elise signed with Nike and joined the Bowerman Track Club in 2019. She competes in the 1500, 5K, and 10K. This past summer, she was an Olympic finalist in the 5K in the Tokyo Games. She placed 13th overall in the Olympics. Here during the U.S. Olympic trials, she was first in that race, the 5K champion, and she was very close in the 10K, coming in fourth place. She's also part of the world record 4x1500 meter team, along with teammates from the Bowerman Track Club, Colleen Quigley, Carissa Schweitzer, and Shelby Houlihan. Of very recent news, which is super exciting, Elise recently broke an indoor 5,000 meter American record, which was previously held by the well-known Shalane Flanagan. Elise beat it by a smashing 14 seconds, running a time of 14 minutes, 33.17 seconds. So for all these impressive running stats, we are excited to have Elise on the podcast, but also because Elise is a mentor to younger girls in sport through Voice in Sport and passionate about helping the next generation of athletes. Elise has a really interesting story, which will probably be the focus of our conversation today, and what she mentors a lot of athletes about, which is the importance of having your menstrual cycle. And so she's going to be a great person to chat with. Elise, welcome to the Female Athlete Nutrition Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So me and Elise had quite the technical issues prior to hitting record on this. So we're both kind of giggly right now, but we're really excited to just finally have this conversation. Elise, you are an Olympian, a professional runner, and you've also shared a lot about your journey with sport and nutrition. So really excited for you to share this with kind of our audience that's listening and everything. One of the things kind of going back to your background and growing up, you know, your parents were endurance athletes, and that's where some of your passion started. And I've heard you speak about the importance of doing multiple sports growing up and everything. Can you tell us a little bit about that, but also like when your passion for running really began?
Yeah. I mean, as you said, my parents were triathletes. So growing up, I think we were really exposed to that. They put me and my two younger sisters in swimming at a really young age. And then we kind of, you know, played soccer, did a little bit of basketball. So all sorts of different things. And I think, yeah, I just can't overstate, I think, how beneficial that was for like my development and just like the trajectory of my career now, just in terms of, you know, the swimming piece, just like not having the impact at a young age and being able to work on a lot of different, like, you know, kind of skills and become just like a well-rounded, you know, person and athlete. And so I didn't really get into running, I would say, until kind of toward the end of middle school. So I started track with my middle school in sixth grade, but then didn't do cross country until eighth grade. So I'd say that's when I kind of started to really, really get into it. And then even my freshman year of high school, thought I would still maybe play soccer for the high school instead of run track. But I'm really grateful. I had some incredible coaches in high school that were like, I think you should, you know, I think you should try to go all in on the running thing. So I'm grateful that they advised me, because I think at that point I was kind of ready and, you know, really exploring my passion for running and wanted to kind of go more all in on that, but continued to swim all throughout high school, which I also think was really helpful in keeping me healthy and, you know, getting a little kind of reprieve from that impact in the wintertime.
Yeah, for sure. And I always like to ask our high-level athletes, like, was it in high school or at what point did you realize, like, I can make it far with running?
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good question. I think it might have been, I guess, my freshman year of high school. I don't know if it was that I knew I could make it far, but I think I went to Nike Cross Regionals, which was kind of the first event that I did outside of the state. And I think that was where my horizons were just completely open to running. I think at that point in time, I was like, oh, state is as big as it gets in the running world. And so to go to a meet like that, I think that's when I was like, wow, there's just so much room for growth and so much more I can find, you know, about my like potential or limits in this sport than I even thought possible. So I think that was just like a really huge turning point for me. And like, wow, there's kind of this whole other world that I didn't really realize existed.
Yeah. And making it to a big meet like that too is like, wow, there's so much competition and people at my level and stuff too, you know, that it's like, yeah, you can keep going further and further. So, I mean, that's a pretty young age in freshman year, you kind of started realizing this could be something. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, like you're saying, I think the competition too, and even just looking up to, you know, older girls in high school that had been to that meet for a few years and kind of, you know, seeing how they race and how they prepare, like that was really eye-opening to me too. And like, okay, these are things that you could, you know, maybe start doing better, improving upon to like try to get, you know, more out of yourself, which I think is really exciting too when you're first getting into the sport.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like I'm jumping ahead many, many years here, but I love to just kind of fast forward. Like, you recently became an Olympian. So that's, you know, crazy exciting. And then also, was it just last weekend or like 2 weekends ago that you set a new American record in the 5,000 meters indoor?
5, yeah. 000, yeah. Right? That was just last weekend. So yeah.
So that's like, so you're Olympian, you just set a new American indoor record in the 5,000 meters. You know, where do you think you're going to keep going? You know, you're what's kind of on the horizon for you in running?
Yeah. Well, I actually feel like that was like a perfect segue from the previous question, because when I was talking about my, like, you know, eyes being really opened in high school to when I went to that meet, I feel like kind of that same thing happened to me when I went to Tokyo. Like, I think it just was like my first kind of experience on, you know, racing against like the global competition. And I think that was super eye-opening for me. And so I kind of feel like it's a little bit of the same thing, just a little bit later in my career. And so I think that's really helped me. I even just feel in the last couple months since like coming back and, you know, kind of recommitting to training this fall and the beginning of this year has just, I feel like I have much more purpose in my training and intention just from, you know, what I saw from, you know, competing against the best in the world and what it takes to be up there. And so I'm really just excited moving forward to, you know, keep putting that into practice and hopefully get more experience racing on that global stage now that I feel like I'm a little more equipped as to like what to expect and how those races go.
Yeah, no, it's super exciting, right? Because yeah, at the collegiate level, you know, that which was awesome. And then right after that, was it right after college that you signed with Bowerman?
Yeah.
But it was still kind of that. Yeah. So right after, but so a couple of years of just kind of keeping it more so American competition than Olympics is that broader. All right. Now we're global, Elise.
Yeah.
<It's> awesome. So yeah. So this is like that next step in your professional running career. It's super exciting. And you know, so I want to touch on too how you got connected with this Voice in Sport, and they have a mission, honestly, very similar to mine, except mine is obviously, you know, focused in on the nutrition since I'm a dietitian here, but Voice in Sport is a company that is really geared towards empowering youth female athletes. And you're a mentor for a lot of youth athletes. Tell me how you linked up with Voice in Sport and also what it means to you to be a mentor for younger athletes.
Yeah. So I had a teammate at Stanford that got involved with working with Steph, who's the founder of Voice in Sport. And she was like part of kind of the early, you know, development of this platform. And she reached out to me. She was a couple years younger. So, and she had quite a few injuries. So I feel like I was maybe, you know, able to help her a little bit through her time at Stanford. And I think she was like, I think you would really like this. You know, I think you would be a really good mentor. And so got connected to Steph through her. And just like the first time I talked to Steph, I just loved the vision that she had. And I think it was something that I actually thought a lot about through like going through college. It's just like, I was like, I feel like a lot of people graduate and you get so much knowledge over your years of like being on a team and what you learn about, you know, balancing athletics and academics and what you learn about, you know, nutrition and getting a regular period and taking care of your body. And I feel like sometimes people would graduate and I was like, I feel like there's this wealth of knowledge that isn't like always passed on to like everyone on the team, or like maybe if you're just having smaller conversations. And so I think that was something that I thought a lot about. So when this opportunity came around, I was like, wow, this is kind of something I was like thinking of would be really cool if you could create that, of like talking to like younger high school or college age girls of just things that you've learned over the years to hopefully help them avoid some of the same, you know, pitfalls or mistakes, or if not, like, you know, get to like a healthier, happier place faster than I did. And I think that's something that just really excited me, and something that's been really rewarding in being a mentor is just like the relationships that I've formed with people from all over, and, you know, being able to, you know, help them through their struggles. And I think it's given a lot more meaning to like the injuries I experienced in college too, because I'm like, wow, I feel like I can relate to them on such a deeper level because I know exactly what they're going through. And I think just kind of having that renewed sense of like purpose and meaning in my own running and like the setbacks that I experienced, because it's allowed me to connect with them and hopefully help them through whatever they're going through.
Yeah. Yeah. And I should be seeing you over on there. I connected with Steph. I'm like on the books as a sports dietitian with Voice in Sport, but I linked up with her in the fall. And then I actually just had a baby in December. And so I have not been able to actually do anything with Voice in Sport yet, but it is a great mission and a great organization. And so hopefully I'll be actually doing some work with them this spring once my life gets a little more settled. So I'll be seeing you over there. But yeah, I want to touch on what you were expressing about like all the lessons you learned in college with everything from being on a team, you know, and also with your nutrition. That's something that you've been outspoken about. You have shared with Voice in Sport and some other sources that you struggled with red S, relative energy deficiency in sport. And so this is something you're really passionate about, kind of mentoring and guiding other girls in so that they don't fall into that trap as well. So I'd love to kind of dig into that now if you're cool with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the term red S, I feel like it is a newer term. And when you, were you the one who kind of knew I'm struggling with this, or did somebody else bring it to your attention, like a coach or a dietitian or anything like that?
Yeah, it was brought to my attention after I had my first big bone injury. So my sophomore year of college, I got a sacral stress fracture. And then just through the like treatment with that, with the doctors at Stanford, and ended up getting a DEXA bone density scan and saw that my bone density was really low. And I think that was the first time that it was brought to my attention that like not getting a regular period is not a good thing. And I think it was really easy to not really realize that, or that ever to be brought to my attention, because like I was running well. So that's something that I think why I'm so passionate about talking about it now, because it's like, you know, for me, the lack of period started in high school and kind of that under fueling, and then, you know, kind of got worse my freshman year. And it's really easy to think that there's nothing going on beneath the surface when you're running well, and you just think it's a normal thing. And I think that's something that I continue to want to see, you know, that narrative change in high school and for younger runners of like, it's not normal to not get a period. And even if you stay, you know, healthy for a year or a couple years, like it catches up with you eventually. And so I think that's where it really came to a head for me, was when I just experienced that first bone injury and was told, okay, your bone density, you know, is not good. And there's only a finite amount of time that you can build it. And I think that was really like kind of alarm bells went off in my head of like, okay, we need to figure out how to get a regular period back. Because if you want to like continue to run and also just be, you know, healthy for the rest of your life, like this is something that's really important.
Yeah. And I love that you shared that you were running well, because I think this is something people struggle with when they're missing their period, or even with like an injury. It's like, well, it's just one injury, but otherwise I'm running well. And they're so nervous to make a change because they're running well. And it's like, but unfortunately, if the cause is, or what's going on is bone density isn't good, we're missing our period, then we know it's not going to end well. Even if it's going well right now, we know it's not going to end well, because with all those hormones being suppressed, metabolic dysfunction, and then that huge issue of bones not being developed, it's like this really is something that has to be dealt with as soon as possible, because otherwise it can really damage your athletic career, potentially make it come to an end. So for you at that time, you're like, okay, I have the sacral stress fracture, and you started getting educated. What sort of help, and I know Stanford has a great athletic staff and they have a sports dietitian and everything, but like what sort of help did you get, or changes, big changes that you made in order to really pursue getting your menstrual cycle?
Yeah, I think the one thing that was good is the fact that like the injury kind of came at the same time that I realized this, because I think there was no kind of needing to figure out like, okay, bringing back intensity or adjusting training, because it was like, you have to take time off. So I think that was the first thing that was really helpful is, and my coach was really great about that. He was like, you know, we're not going to do anything, like not even cross training for several weeks. Like we need to let this heal and we need to, you know, get you back on track. So I think looking back, I'm really appreciative of that, that it wasn't like, okay, let's jump right into cross training. It was like, no, your body clearly needs some time completely off. And then in addition to that, you know, starting to make big changes in my diet. So I'd say like the big thing for me was adding more fat. Like I had just, you know, kind of gotten in an unhealthy like state of mind in terms of, you know, avoiding a lot of fat. So like oils and butter and, you know, full fat yogurt, full fat milk, things like that, that for me, I really tried to make that change of like, okay, we need to start, you know, you need that to function as a person and an athlete. And so really tried to add, you know, avocado, like, you know, be really cognizant when I was going to the dining hall of like having the full fat milk or the full fat yogurt, or, you know, choosing more of those dishes with like the cheese or the butter, things that I had, you know, maybe tried to avoid in the past. And I was like, you know, this is what my body needs, you know, more calorically dense things, not just, you know, straight carbs and low fat foods, because that's not giving it what it needs. And that's not going to help me, you know, get closer to getting my menstrual cycle again. So I think that was really big. And then just like the timing as well of when I was eating, I had a tendency to go like pretty long periods of time. So just, it was really helpful talking to our nutritionist at Stanford too, of like, okay, how are there ways that you can, you know, add little things in where it also doesn't seem as overwhelming? Because I think sometimes when you first find out like you need to get your period back, people are just like, you just have to eat more. And it's like, sometimes you sit there and you're like, I don't know where to add things in or how to do that. And so I think that's where, again, like, you know, making choices of like that full fat yogurt or things like that are really helpful, because you're getting, you know, more calories that your body needs without feeling like you're like, oh, I need to have like three giant helpings of dinner or something. And so I think that was really big. And then, yeah, so like adding more snacks and eating more frequently. So, you know, like, you know, putting some trail mix in the middle of the day, or like making sure I was having a snack before bed, you know, like ice cream or yogurt and granola, like things that were high in fat and protein. So I think, you know, talking with someone to really kind of plan out like how you can, you know, tweak things in a small way that don't seem overwhelming, but, you know, you can kind of make small goals and like, okay, I'm going to, you know, focus this week on having, you know, a pre-bedtime snack every night before bed. And I think when I was able to break it down that way, it was like a lot more helpful and like, okay, this is going to help me get closer to getting that menstrual cycle, but it doesn't need to feel like I need to do a whole like overhaul essentially of what I've been doing.
Yeah. One step at a time for sure. But yeah, you just had three really good points. So getting your period back, bringing down or taking time off your training, focusing on fats. And then the third thing was like nutrient timing, you know, and those afternoon snacks or sneaking something in here before bed snack. And those are three really great tips for any of our listeners going through this themselves. Yeah. So decrease in training, focus on fats and nutrient timing, really important things to get your period back.
Hey fans, I hope you are enjoying this conversation so far, and we'll be back to it in just a moment. But first, I want to pause and let you know that this episode is brought to you by the Female Athlete System of Transformation, aka the Fast Track to overcome disordered eating and use food as fuel to perform at your highest level. The Female Athlete System of Transformation is my unique program and proven systems to guide female athletes to understanding and implementing the proper nutrition for their sport, life, and health. Myself and my team of registered sports dietitians work one-on-one with clients to address their unique needs and counsel them through the nutritional and behavioral changes needed. Many female athletes who resonate with disordered eating, mental guilt around food and body, relative energy deficiency in sport or female athlete triad, amenorrhea, repeat injuries due to negligent nutrition, or frankly, just a lack of knowledge and understanding on their fueling needs, have seen incredible success in the Fast Track. After years of working as a sports RD, I've compiled the most effective ways for female athletes to learn nutrition, be supported, be challenged, and ultimately find their success with fueling as fast as possible. So don't wait another day. Get to your goals faster by joining the Female Athlete System of Transformation. Look in the show notes or head to the website to book a free call and learn more. Okay, now let's get you back to the conversation. Enjoy.
Oftentimes when girls and female athletes are going through this, and whether it's because they're adding more food, which is necessary, or taking time off of training, which is necessary and helpful, they see body composition changes as well. And this can be really, really difficult to deal with. Did you experience that yourself during this time? And how did you deal with that?
Yeah, I did. And I think it's something that's really hard, but it's like you said as well, like, you know, as we were talking about earlier, sometimes, you know, when you're not getting a period and you're running well, you think everything's fine. But I think being on the other side of it, even seeing my body change when I started to get a regular period and got back into training, like I actually realized before what I thought was like running well and feeling good actually wasn't as, you know, like feeling as strong as I could have. And I think, you know, when I made those changes, even though I saw changes in my body, it was like, I now feel like I'm recovering from my workouts and runs way better. And I feel way stronger. I feel like I could go longer in my workout. And I think those are things that, you know, when that voice, you know, creeped in about like, you know, your body's changing and it looks different, like trying to, you know, really hold on and focus on those things of like, you know, how am I feeling? Like I'm feeling stronger than I ever have before. So like really trying to kind of repeat, you know, a mantra like that in my head was really helpful. Cause it's like, you know, that other voice can definitely get in and be like, oh, you know, you were running fast before on a body that looked different. Like, are you ever going to be able to run that fast again? But, you know, changing that narrative to be, okay, like I'm feeling stronger and healthier and I'm actually going to be able to run way past my potential of what I would have been able to do when I was under fueling and not getting a regular cycle. And I think, you know, just kind of continually having that loop go through my head was something that was really helpful. And I think another thing that was really helpful for me is just really focusing on like the bone density piece. I think it can be different for every person to focus on. But I think for me, like I said earlier, like the alarm bells really went off in my head. And I think when I was like, you can only, you know, build it when you're, you know, in a finite amount of time, and this is going to impact, you know, your health for the rest of your life. I think that's something that I tried to come back to a lot too, when I would, you know, be questioning and seeing my body changing, of like, you know, just really kind of thinking of that visual of like, okay, I don't want frail bones. And I've been doing the same thing and, you know, not getting my period. So I need to try something different. So that's what I like to, you know, tell even some of my mentees now, is like, okay, you can go back to what you were doing if you find this doesn't work and your body's changing and don't like it. But I guarantee that when you get a taste of what it's like to feel strong and well fueled, that you won't want to go back to the way things were before. And it's kind of scary, because it's, you have to take a leap of faith, right? And you have to be like, okay, I see my body changing, and I'm going to be, you know, running on a different body than I was before. But I think that's something that I just try to talk a lot about now, is like, taking that leap of faith is so rewarding, because you're going to feel so much better and so much happier, and you're going to just have so much more longevity in the sport.
Absolutely. You just said so many good things I kind of want to highlight, but one of them is that when you are without your menstrual cycle, you're without all of your hormones. And so your performance is really capped, right? Like you cannot perform at your highest level. So even though you might be thinking you're running well, you're nowhere near what your potential is. And so when you can get over that hump, get your hormones, have your period, like you're saying, the feeling, you just feel like a stronger runner. You're recovering faster. You've got more aerobic capacity even. So everything is better. And it's one of those things where people don't know how bad they feel until they feel good. And so I just want our listeners going through this themselves to really listen to Elise, that like, she felt better afterwards. Even though you were running great before, you ran better after. And still are, obviously. It's like, I don't know. Do you think about this? Would you be where you are today had you not gotten your period?
Absolutely not. And I think that's like the other thing too, is if I think that's, again, like I started to be like, if you don't, like, Elise, if you don't make substantial changes now and try to address this, like, you're probably not going to be able to run after college. Like, and so that was a huge motivating factor for me too. Again, like, you know, no matter like what you want to do, you know, running wise after college, even just like running for like fun. If I didn't know if I was going to go pro, but like even just running in daily life, I was like, I love running and I don't want it to be something that I can never do again, because I'm not willing to try to take this leap of faith and make those changes. And yeah. And as you said, which I can't reiterate enough, is like, I really didn't know like how capped my potential was when I wasn't getting a period. And it's like, you think you're running well, but then just like the feeling that you get when you're running like well fueled, even if your body looks different, is you're just able to run at such a higher level and maximize your potential in such a different way, because you're giving your body what it needs and treating it, you know, with grace and giving it, yeah, what it's asking for.
Totally. Yeah. And I like how you were expressing like, okay, I'm running in a different body now, but that's just it. You're running. And had you not gone through this, maybe you wouldn't have been able to. And so, you know, if you are truly, you know, a lover of the sport and you love sport and activity and movement, then this is something you can give to yourself. You can give yourself the gift of recovery so that you can keep doing this for a lifetime. All right, listeners, listen to Elise.
Make the changes. It's really hard, but it's so worth it. And yeah, and now it's like, as I said too, when I talk with my mentees and like being on the other side of it, and so seeing both sides, you just like, you wish you could like be like, I wish I could like show you what it feels like right now, so you knew how good it is on the other side. Cause you have to like trust and kind of go through that period where you're kind of, you know, not exactly sure until you feel it for yourself. But yeah, that's where I want to like shout it out to everyone. Like, I promise on the other side, you'll feel so much better.
Yeah. Well, and I just have to say, Elise, you know, it's part of my work, but definitely in what you're doing and speaking out about this, it is helping, because I'm getting as clients, girls in high school as young as 14, 15, 16, who are like, I've been missing my period for a year and a half now, and I know that's a bad thing. And I want to run in college, so I should do something about this now, right? And I'm working with them. And so like you speaking out about this is making a difference. It is. And I want you to know that, because girls younger and younger are starting to recognize the importance of this and getting the help that they need.
That's so awesome. I'm glad you have people reaching out at that young of an age too. Cause like I said in the beginning, like that's just my hope is that, you know, because at that point it's like going a year without your period is better than going 2, 3, 4, like anytime you can, you know, recognize that it's not good to not be getting your period and try to work on that as soon as possible. So you don't go so long, like the better off you'll be and the more injuries like you'll avoid in the long run, which is huge.
Yeah. Now, I have another question for you that might help a lot of our listeners. And it's a question that comes up with my clients all the time. So as I work, and I work with clients with all different nutrition needs, but this is a big topic and one that I help them with. And so for a lot of my clients, we get their period back and they're keeping it. And then they ask me the question of like, so does my nutrition change now? So I'm curious in your experience, like after doing all that work, like you mentioned, of focusing on fats and more nutrient dense foods and really focusing on your nutrient timing, how different or similar is your nutrition now as, you know, a pro runner who has her menstrual cycle compared to maybe like when you were going through the changes you need to make? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think when you're going through, like when I was first going through it is like you actually, I think this is where it's so hard because especially when you're like on a team or you have other people around you, it's like so easy to compare, but it's like so important to remember, you know, like everyone's body is really different and everyone's in a really different spot. So like, you know, for me, when I was first trying to get it back, it's like, that looks like, you know, eating like a lot more than I thought. And it's like, maybe again, like I said, when I first got injured, it's like, I wasn't exercising. So that's something that I had to work on, you know, really challenging too. Cause I think my mind was like, oh, well you can, you know, eat less, you're not exercising. But it's like, that's something that I really had to challenge of like, no, your body like needs a lot just to survive. It also is in a huge hole because it's not getting its menstrual cycle. So you haven't been fueling it enough for, you know, X number of years or time. You're trying to heal from an injury. So you need a lot of nutrients for that. And so I think, you know, I just like to think of the analogy of, you know, when I went so long without getting a menstrual cycle, I was in a hole and I needed to like really, really up my nutrition to kind of catch up after all of those years of underfueling. And then I think just being really aware of that has been a huge tool for me. I think that's the other thing that I can't overstate enough is when you get a regular period back, just how incredible, what an incredible tool it is for us as female athletes. Like, you know, even training now, it's so helpful to me. It's like, you know, as I've been pro for 3 years, like I've slowly increased like my mileage over the years. And it's like, it's really important that I am still getting a regular period. And it's a great indicator for me of like, okay, if I feel like my period's a little bit late or it's a little bit lighter, I'm like, okay, maybe I'm riding the edge and I need to like make sure I'm, you know, adding more into my diet and really, you know, honing in on my nutrition. Cause maybe, you know, my intensity has been a little higher, my mileage has been a little higher, and I really need to, you know, adjust my nutrition accordingly. So I think it can be, yeah, it can just be so different depending on where you are. If you're trying to get your cycle back, where you are in your training cycle, you know, are you riding an edge where you think you might be starting to lose your period and now you need to, you know, really focus on, again, kind of like maybe you're in, you know, a small hole and you've missed a couple months and you need to like, you know, really hone back in on that and make sure you're not going that long period of time without getting it again.
Right. Yeah. And so those are things you can always come back to if you're concerned of like, okay, I need to pay closer attention to my fats again. I need to pay closer attention to my pre and post workout fuel or my nutrient timing and just kind of go back to those. It might have been a huge overhaul when you were going through it. And now it's just little reminders that, okay, I might need to focus on this a little bit more.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So on your, I think it's on the Bowerman website in your bio, it says that you, and where are my notes? Here we go. That you love cooking and baking and you're very proud of your coconut cake.
Yes. Yes.
Tell us about this coconut cake.
Oh man. Yeah. As I said earlier, I have two younger sisters. So we kind of started this thing like several years ago where we really like to bake around the holidays and just make an absurd amount of desserts. And my youngest sister was like, I really want us to make a cake, because we were making all these like, you know, breads or cookies. But she's like, I want us to make like this really awesome cake with like a cool display. And so I don't actually know how we like came across a recipe for coconut cake, but now it's kind of been a staple in our household. So yeah. And then we've talked about maybe one day opening like a bakery or dessert truck called Cranny Confection. So we'll see. We enjoy baking when we're all together, and the coconut cake has been a fun favorite the last several years. So
yeah. Oh, I love that. That's awesome. And that is such an important, you know, thing about food and fueling, is remembering that it's shared experiences with family and memories, and heck, could be a future job with Cranny's Confections. So
yeah.
Could be a future source of income. Yeah. There's so, you know, food is your fuel as a runner. And then it's also, you know, brings just so much more to life and joy and happiness and family and memories and stuff like that too. So.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing where, you know, we've kind of hit on this topic a lot, but like where you don't really realize like how bad something is until you realize like how good it is. And I think that's a similar thing that was something I struggled with, is like, you know, like not, you know, going out to dinner with friends, or like not being able to kind of be like fully present in like the social aspect around like food or desserts or things like that. And I think you just don't really realize, I think when you're in it, just kind of the toll that even takes mentally, and you know, you're just on your mood and things like that. And so it's so much more enjoyable now to like have really worked on that and just be so much more balanced and be able to like enjoy those fun times instead of, you know, kind of making up all these rules in your head for what's, you know, quote unquote healthy. And it's again, just like, yeah, that happiness factor too is like almost, you know, even more important than just like the physical health, is just, you know, feeling like you can really function and be present with the people around you and be happy.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important. And then kind of another question I wanted to ask you, especially with you recently setting a new American record and everything, do you have any like go-to fueling strategies, whether it be for race day or just like every day throughout training, that you're like, you know, this, I do try to get this food in or this hydration in order to really take care of my needs as a runner? Do you have any tips or kind of regular, like this is what Elise does to keep performing at a high level?
Yeah. I actually have several. And I think that's something that's been really helpful too for me, is finding some staples and things that you know work for you. Cause then I don't think you kind of save some of that mental energy sometimes, or you know, like, okay, I've figured out what has worked for me. So I'm like, okay, I know that I need to like incorporate the avocado every day at lunch or whatever it is. So I would say my first staple that I would say is my most important is bone broth. And that's been a huge game changer for me. So I used to make it, don't make it as much anymore, but I really like Bonafide Provisions. They have a really good bone broth. And I like to start my day with a cup of bone broth. It's just really good for inflammation, really good for bone health, so many different things. So that has become a staple.
Some collagen sneaks in there. Yeah.
Yes. All the good things. And then I really like the Picky Bars beet oatmeal. That's my go-to breakfast.
Oh yeah. I've heard of that. I haven't tried it yet though, but I've heard of it.
It's
somebody
really
else mentioned
good.
It on the podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good because you get your carbs. There's some chocolate chips in it, which make it tasty. And then they also have, I think, some like almonds, dates, chia seeds. So you get some, you know, some protein and some fat in there too. It's like a pretty hearty oatmeal. And I have that with full fat milk. So that's a staple for me as well. And then, yeah, I usually pretty much stay the same for breakfast and lunch. So I usually do some sort of, you know, avocado and eggs with toast or rice for lunch, just again, cause it's easy to know, okay, you're getting your carb, protein, fat in there without having to overthink anything. And then I've always been a big fan of chocolate milk, or making some sort of kind of like protein smoothie for after a workout or run. So I have been on a kick recently of doing milk, banana, cinnamon, and then protein powder. Again, kind of getting the carbs, protein, and some anti-inflammation with the cinnamon. So that's another go-to.
Yeah, those are all awesome. And I like how you said too, it's like, and this is a message that I really want our listeners to understand, because I am somebody who preaches like food freedom and eat the coconut cake and it's okay to have ice cream and all that. But you also need to figure out what works for your body to help you feeling good day in and day out. And ice cream and coconut cake can be part of that. But also, as you know, as you were saying, like, but I have bone broth every day and I have my balanced plate of the carbs and the protein and the color at lunchtime. And I'm starting every day with oatmeal. So there's certain things that you know work for your body, keep you energized, keep you healthy from the inside out, make you feel good at practice when you're running. And then you can have that fun and flexibility with your food whenever you want to as well.
Yeah. And I think like you're saying, I think it's so important to, you know, really pay attention to how your body's feeling. That's, you know, my teammate who you said, Vanessa, has been on the podcast as well. Like we are huge proponents of ice cream as an evening snack. And we like have noticed like before workouts and long runs, we're like, wow, when we have ice cream, like the night before a workout or long run, like we feel amazing in the morning. Cause it's like, you get that protein and fat. You don't wake up in the morning, like, you know, so hungry after you've gone to bed. And so that's something we like focus on a lot in our house as well, is like, we're like, okay, we're tomorrow we have, you know, a big long run or a big workout. Like we're going to go get, you know, Cold Stone or have ice cream. Cause I think we've both noticed for ourselves too, is like that makes us feel like very energized and waking up feeling good too. So that's like you're saying, it's just really important, I think, to focus on, you know, how foods can make you feel and making sure, you know, you're thinking about like, you know, that's what we've noticed. Like I even noticed that, especially when we're up at altitude, like a day when I, you know, didn't do as well fueling, like how I feel the next day versus a day when I like absolutely crushed the fueling and, you know, you just feel so much more like energized and ready to go the next day.
Yeah. And what you just said too, of like a day that I absolutely crushed the fueling, I feel energized. That includes having ice cream as part of that. That's part exactly. of you crushing your fueling. You know, it's a message that is so, sometimes it's really hard for people to accept, but it's like, you know, everybody is in a different place and everything, but as somebody who's showing up every day, running, expecting their body to perform, you need to fuel and all foods can be included in that. And you just have to listen to your body and figure out what works for you. And ice cream works for you before hard workouts. And that's amazing.
Yes.
I love that because I'm an ice cream lover. All my listeners know that. I'm like team ice cream over here as a dietitian. It's great. So, well, that's awesome. So I know I probably have so many other questions to ask you, but we'll have to wrap this up kind of soon. All right, Elise, this has been such an awesome conversation so far. And I think you've shared really helpful information and been an inspiration for those of us who might resonate with amenorrhea or loss of a menstrual cycle or irregular periods. You're such an inspiration. Like when I saw you win at the Olympic trials, I like me and all my clients, just so you know, the next day, everybody, all my clients in the group chat were like, we are so excited for Elise, because a lot of my clients are going through what you went through years ago. So you are such an inspiration of like, okay, if I get my period back, maybe I'll be the next Olympian, just like
yes,
Elise.
Yes.
So you were such an inspiration to so many of my clients going through this. So thank you so much for coming on this podcast. And I want to finish up with just some rapid fire kind of fun questions. Okay.
Perfect.
Okay. Elise, if there's one food you could eat every single day for the rest of your life and never get sick of it, what would it be?
Oh man, I'm already not doing very well with the rapid fire. honestly, oh man. Probably ice cream, honestly. Probably chocolate. I'm a chocolate peanut butter, so anything chocolate peanut butter ice cream.
Yeah, you just never get sick of it. I know. I love it. All right, Elise, what is your favorite sport to participate in?
I think I might have to go with running.
Makes sense.
But I actually really, really like, I said I grew up playing soccer. I really like indoor soccer. It's just so fast paced and we sometimes do a workout on a turf field and there was a soccer ball out there a couple months ago. And our coach Jerry was like getting mad because I kept wanting to like try to shoot. And he's like, no, Lee, stop. Like, you're going to hurt yourself. Don't try to run and do that. But I think I'm still kind of pulled to the soccer every once in a while, just because it's fun to like you know, feel like you're running towards something.
Yeah. I'm running towards the ball or something. Yeah. That's funny. But I know that's probably the one of the few downsides of being a pro runner is then you can't just play pickup soccer because it's too much of an injury risk. It's like, I can't do that anymore.
Exactly. So. Exactly. It's that and skiing, like, especially after watching all the Winter Olympics, I'm like, I want to go skiing so bad, but definitely gonna have to wait until my running days are done.
Yeah, totally. I know. Well, how about as a spectator? What is your favorite sport to be a spectator of?
Honestly, I really like watching swimming. I just think it's always like the races are so close. I think this is just because it's fresh in my mind, but I've been loving watching the Winter Olympics, and the snowboard half pipe was just insane for both the men and women. So that was really impressive to me. And I really enjoyed being a spectator for that.
Yeah. Winter Olympics they're very fun to watch. Nothing against Summer Olympics, but there's just something like very extreme. I'm like, is this like, these are like extreme sports in Winter Olympics. So.
It's like, I mean, Vanessa and I have been watching and I'm like, there's just like a fear factor that's just not there in any like sport in the Summer Olympics. Like I just see them standing at the top of a mountain and I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like I want to know what state of mind you're in, because you don't stand on a line at the track like thinking that you could like get seriously injured if you like crashed or something. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like it's just, yeah, it's a whole nother level. It's very impressive.
Yeah, totally. So those are great sports to be a spectator of for sure.
Yeah.
All right. And last question, Elise, is there a female athlete you want to give a shout out to for being a role model or an inspiration? Here at Rise of Nutrition, we call being fierce, fit, and fueled, whether in your personal life or a professional athlete.
Oh man, so many. Yeah, I would honestly say, I think Shalane and my teammates, honestly, I would say especially Shelby and Carissa. When I joined the group, they were just, you know, in 2020, they both went under the previous American record outdoor and were the first Americans to break 14:30. And I think just having like followed their careers before I joined the team and then getting to train with them, you know, it's kind of like we've talked about today. They just approach the sport wanting to find their potential and their true limit. And I think that's something that has really inspired me, you know, with all my teammates since I joined this group, of just always, you know, pushing the envelope and always, you know, trying to be the very best that you can and get the most out of yourself. And I just feel so lucky to be surrounded by that every day, you know, and come into a group with people who have like medaled at the Olympics and World Championships and are, you know, Canadian or American record holders. And I think really just being around that and seeing, I think after leaving college too, you know, when you talk about being fit and fueled, is like also seeing like being surrounded by that and seeing, you know, being up at altitude camp and like ordering Cold Stone as a group, like just seeing like the balance that you can be competing at the highest level on the global stage, but, you know, have that balance and, you know, really be, you know, fueling and taking care of yourself so that you can, you know, push past those limits and do things that you maybe didn't think you could do at one point in time. So I think, yeah, any of my just, yeah, the whole Bowerman team and coaches has just been a huge inspiration to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. So shout out to all of your teammates then.
Yes.
Well, awesome. Thank you again, Elise. It's been a pleasure having you on and having this conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed talking to you today.
I really hope you enjoyed that episode and thanks for listening. But before I let you go, I have free resources that you can have access to right away, right now, so that you can start fueling your body as a fierce, fit, and fueled female athlete. First, I have your Red S recovery race. If you've ever wondered if you might be struggling with Red S, curious to learn more, or know you have Red S and are looking to recover fast, then you can head to www.riseupnutritionrun.com/redS and download the Red S Recovery Race. See how you place and figure out the next steps to recovery. Plus, while there, I have a few other great resources for you, including 3 nutrition secrets that every elite athlete swears by and access to our private Facebook community, Female Athlete Nutrition. So again, to gain access to all of this, head to riseupnutritionrun.com/redS. That's /REDS. And you can gain access and get the help you need fast. Too many girls and women and female athletes struggle with nutrition, but you don't have to any longer. Become fierce, fit, and fueled. Links in the show notes, and I'll see you next time.